Before I read our scripture, which is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, as you have time to look for that, I wanted to mention that a note that I was given just before the service, asking prayers for Reverend Ed Beck. Reverend Ron Hamilton handed this to me. He's a regular attender here when he is here in town. He's visiting his son in Colorado, has severe pneumonia. So I ask that we be in prayer also, including all the others, for Reverend Ed Beck. Our gospel lesson this morning is linked with the Old Testament story of David and Goliath, as David dealt with the giant. And as we think about the giants, the storms, the conditions in our lives that we face, let us hear this passage from Mark 4 about Jesus in the boat with his disciples as they faced the storm. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care if we perish?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?" And they were filled with awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Loving God, we understand that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. Our trust is in you, and so as your people, we come before you in worship, praising you, thanking you, acknowledge your presence with us all week long. And on this day, we say, Lord, speak to us. Show us what you would have for us today. Prepare us for the storms that we would face. And let us heed the words of Jesus and be people of faith. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson today, as you just heard, is that very familiar passage about Jesus being in the boat with the disciples. They're going across the lake, and suddenly a storm comes up. A storm comes up and rocks the boat. Isn't it true in life that that so often happens that way? In the 1991 book, The Perfect Storm, also made into a movie, it is said about that storm, which was described as the perfect storm, the biggest storm, that there was calm. And we know that expression, the peace, the calm before the storm. There was calm. And then the winds picked up from 40 knots to 90 knots, and the waves as high as 70 feet. And in our lives, storms often come that way. For my wife, Debbie, and for myself, in what we do with me as a pastor and she working for DPS early on when she did field work, we were accustomed to the fact that the phone might ring in the middle of the night. And for us, it meant either Debbie was being called out to the field or I was. And in our household, we had that understanding. When the phone rang, and someone needed us, we went. The storms come, and so often we're not prepared. This passage is a passage that's telling us to be prepared, to understand where our help comes from. We have raised 4 daughters, and in our instruction to our daughters, we have said to them, when you face a problem and you deal with that problem, think about your resources. If you have a problem with a car, you stop, you look at the car, you think about it, maybe a lot of things you could do, or a problem that arises among friends. But one of the resources has always has to be mom or dad. There are times when you might try everything yourself and everything works. Don't ever forget that last resource. If you need help, mom or dad. That's what this passage is saying to us. Linked with the story of David and Goliath for good reasons. David was one who understood who his God was. David, though a boy, heard the giant Goliath mocking his God, mocking the God of Israel, mocking the army of Israel, challenging them to send a champion to face him. And his words were, "Send your champion. We will fight. The winner gets the spoils. The others will be our slaves. And to the loser, you lose everything." And he was saying, "Where is this God of yours?" In other words, but he was mocking the God of Israel. And David, even as a boy, knew his Lord. And what he knew about his God was this, that his God was bigger than the giant Goliath. And you know the story, you remember it from Sunday school, or I'll tell you now, David faced Goliath and was victorious. Simply by trusting God, not with sword and shield and helmet, but simply with a slingshot and 5 perfectly round stones that he pulled out of the riverbed. He faced Goliath and with one shot hit Goliath in the one place where he was vulnerable. And the stone embedded in Goliath's forehead, and Goliath was killed. And the forces of the Hebrew people prevailed. The story teaches us about faith. Teaches us that David was one who trusted in his Lord. The storm came up on the sea, and the disciples were fearful. And what was their thought? Jesus is asleep. Often when we encounter problems, either a bad medical report, a bad financial report, a struggle with a family member, whatever it may be, whether it be a little storm or whether it be a big storm, we often approach those storms with the thinking that we have from our world today that teaches that we are in control of our own lives. A basic philosophy, if it feels good, do it. A basic philosophy that leaves God out. Augustine in church history was one that reminded people in his day that you think Jesus is asleep. Maybe it's because you have ignored Jesus. But Jesus is that resource. Wake him up. Like we taught the kids, call mom and dad. When you have a resource, you're foolish not to use it. This is what Augustine said about this very passage hundreds of years ago. When you have to listen to abuse, that means you are being buffeted by the wind. When your anger is aroused, you are being tossed by the waves. So when the winds blow and the waves mount high, the boat is in danger, your heart is imperiled, your heart is taking a battering. on hearing yourself insulted. You long to retaliate. But the joy of revenge brings with it another kind of misfortune, shipwreck. Why is this? Because Jesus is asleep in you. What do I mean? I mean you have forgotten his presence. Rouse him then. Remember him. Let him keep watch within you. Pay heed to him. In the story that we looked at in detail last night at the Sabbath service, the story of David and Goliath, two characters in that story other than Goliath would be David and the king of the land, and that was Saul. Now, Saul would have been the one you would have thought of that maybe would have faced Goliath. Saul, Scripture tells us, was head and shoulders taller than any man in the Israeli army or the Hebrew army. Saul was handsome. He was a good-looking man. He was tall and strong, and people saw him as the natural king. In fact, the prophet anointed him. He was God's choice to be king. But what we see about Saul is that when adversity came, he didn't trust in the one who called him to be king. He didn't go back to that resource of strength. He went the other way. The enemies were the Philistines. They were the ones that were coming against the Hebrew people. Saul began to worship the Philistine god. Scripture tells us that Saul did some weird things for being king of the Hebrew people. He consulted the spirits. He held a seance. He consulted wisdom, direction from the voices of darkness. And because of that, because he chose to turn away from his strength, he was replaced as king. And while he was still alive and still serving as king, God anointed through the prophet another, and that was David, the boy, who trusted God against Goliath. And David became one who trusted God. Saul was killed in battle along with his son Jonathan, and in time, David became the next king and the greatest king in the history of that nation. But know this about David. He was no perfect guy. David sinned. He made mistakes. He went off, had an affair with Bathsheba. And consequently, Bathsheba's husband died in military, and that was sort of at David's planning. There was a lot of things that David did wrong. But David, in the midst of his failure, in the midst of facing his biggest storms, did what Saul didn't. He went back to his source, his resource. David went back to his God, and he confessed his sin. He repented of his sin. He made a mess of things, and he still had to live with the mess that he made. But he was forgiven, and he taught his people about going back to God, going back to our strength. Brothers and sisters, we all face adversity. This message is an important one, as I have said. All four Gospels have this same story. Now, the Gospels don't all have the same stories. The different Gospel writers chose different things from the life of Jesus that they wrote about, they told about. Sometimes they borrowed from one another, but very few are the stories that are in all four Gospels. All four Gospel writers felt that it was important that we understand that the storms do come. And in the face of the storms, we understand what David understood. His God was bigger than the giant Goliath. Our God is bigger than the 70-foot wave. The giants, the storms, are bigger than us. But we can call upon the one who said, in faith, together we can face these things. Jesus taught his disciples to live in peace. So I encourage you to live in peace, knowing that many of us are facing storms right now. Storms will come. Giants will come. With Jesus, we do not stand alone. And with Jesus, we can be like a boy shepherd with a slingshot, knowing that with God, we can face our giants. Amen.